Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jalen Pickett. No introduction for the show today. We're getting right into it because we want to give you a little bit of a taste of what's to come. We're talking to Jalen Pickett today on the Penn State Hoop Show. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. That is Nate Bauer. Nate, I'm excited to share this interview with people. So let's lead off with, it's not the reason we're talking to him, because Jalen Pickett being the premier player on Penn State basketball team, and this is the Penn State Basketball Hoop Show, we're happy to talk to him, but he did have a bit of a week last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he's really good. He is really good at playing basketball. And I think it made sense, right? We had Micah on earlier this season, and hey, you know, surprise, surprise, the season is almost over for Penn State. And so, you know, some of these opportunities are dwindling. And obviously, given the week that he had last week, 41 points against Illinois, which is tied for third all time in program history. And let's be honest, it's the best in program history, because the other marks were made in like the 50s and 60s.
Right.
All due respect. All due respect.
Yeah.
So he had a heck of a game, obviously, against Illinois, and then followed it up with 32 points against Minnesota. And as a result, was, you know, player of the week the world over. I mean, the Big Ten player of the week, national player of the week, ESPN, right? All of these different media outlets and arms of major college basketball all recognized him as the best player in college basketball. And he deserved it. He was outstanding.
Yeah. And the game against Minnesota was much more in line with the Jalen Pickett game. Not that 41 points, I'm not saying that's the problem, but 8 assists, 9 rebounds against Minnesota. Yeah. A little bit more of what we've seen from him being more active on the glass. But if you're not missing and against Illinois, they're getting a lot of layups underneath, a lot more opportunities when the offense opposed to you is struggling too. But yeah, that's the stat line you think of, 32-8-9 with Jalen Pickett. For a guard, it's absurd.
Yeah. No, well, and that was kind of funny. I was going to rib him about it and then decided not to. What was up with the rebounds against Illinois? What was up is that Illinois didn't really miss all that much either. So there were not as many opportunities there for rebounding. But no, for as much as he is worthy of the recognition and as great of a week as he had, the reality for Penn State basketball is the more important aspect is they won both games, right? So a season that was quickly starting to tailspin on them, given the 4-game losing streak, is back, right? I'm not saying that they're out of the danger zone. They are very much in the danger zone. But since we last talked, they went to Minnesota and got a win. And that was a tough win. That was a big win for them to be able to go on the road and get that, even against the last place team in the conference. And now they have Ohio State coming up on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. It's a place that Penn State has had some trouble. I mean, look, let's be real. Penn State has had trouble everywhere traditionally, right? On the road is hard. And this specific team on the road has been a challenge. But a game, again, that Penn State really has to win and should feel fairly good about its opportunity to win. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and I want to come back to this quickly, because I think either we had this stat or we gave this stat from the Blue White Illustrated Twitter account that somebody else had about, I believe it was Optistats actually. Jalen Pickett, 73 points, 52% from three, 65% shooting from the floor. The number of assists and rebounds also in that 2-game stretch, it was two other players had done that in the NBA or in Division I basketball, and one of them was LeBron James. So if you need to get out of a 4-game tailspin,
the other one's Steph Curry.
That's pretty good.
Here's the thing, and you know this, and I know this. Stats can be manipulated. It's fine, right? So if somebody had 14 assists over that span. It just, let's not get carried away. He was really, really good.
Right
at a moment when Penn State needed it. So
absolutely, yeah.
Great for Jalen. But you know, it's like, is he LeBron James or is he Steph Curry? No.
For his level and his moment, he had an impact on, I think the fair part is like his impact was significant. Not that the talent is equated and the level of skill, and he's not going to be an NBA all-star necessarily, but like the level of importance of his play does match those players when they were in those two game stretches of being dominant in their games. Is there anything else we need to set up before we get to Jalen?
Just one more thing, which is where they are right now, which is 16-11 overall, 7-9 in the Big Ten. They've got a 58 net, the NCAA net rankings. They are a 10 seed in the Big Ten tournament if it were to start today. And let's be honest, it doesn't start today, and those seeds will change wildly. There is a stack of teams all at 9-7, right? Like the positioning will change wildly between now and 2 weeks from here. And they have four games to play. So that's where they are. We'll talk about that on the back side of this, but yeah, let's get into the conversation with Jalen. Jalen, what is going on? You are the Big Ten Player of the Week, the National Player of the Week multiple times over for your performances last week. How are you? How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. We had a good week last week. I went 2-0. It felt good.
I had a feeling, a suspicion that you were going to cut straight to the 2-0 part of that equation other than your stats, right? Why is that more important to you right now?
I mean, at this point of year, you know, it's all about, you know, just getting wins, getting chemistry, especially going in, tournament time and March time.
Do you, before we get into that and where you guys are as a team, what clicked personally? Why, you know, I mean, obviously you've been putting up outstanding numbers all season in a variety of categories, points, assists, rebounds. Why did you have such an explosion just this past week?
Yeah, definitely. Just I think taking my opportunities, getting open shots and getting open looks, and basically just shooting it with confidence and knocking them down definitely helped. And then, you know, just reading the defense, and when I pass the ball to my teammates, you know, them doing a great job of, you know, making plays and making shots for us was really big, and, you know, kind of sparked us to kind of get these two much needed wins.
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of the natural segue is, did the moment play into it at all? Did you feel like just, obviously coming off of the four-game losing streak, you guys needed a win desperately. Did that at all spark something in you?
Definitely. I mean, I think it's just time now where you got to, you know, basically stop talking about it and, you know, start doing it. We've had a lot of, you know, mistakes that we've learned from. And, you know, we're just kind of correcting them now. So we got to start putting that to use. Stop talking about what we're going to do and just go out there and, you know, play, have fun, try and get back to having fun and, you know, winning games.
Yeah. Are you figuring some things out? Maybe, and obviously for a guy that has as much experience as you do, are there still things that you're learning? Are there still things that maybe come into focus a little bit more towards the end of the season than maybe would have been present at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, definitely. So, we're coming around to this time, you know, playing teams two times, seeing how they guarded you the first time around compared to the second time, you know, definitely just trying to exploit what the defense is trying to do to put each other in better spots and get guys cleaner looks, because Shrewsbury draw up some great plays for us, and it's just really been working out recently.
Yeah, it kind of struck me that obviously you've had these very successful performances of late and all season, really, but maybe the difference over the last couple of games has been the contributions that you've gotten elsewhere, right? Your fives are giving you a little bit more. You've had a few more open looks go down for some of your teammates. Yesterday, Michael Shrewsbury was talking about how your confidence and your play helps loosen things up for your teammates. Do you agree with that? I mean, do you see that sentiment playing out?
Well, I mean, if he says it, I'm definitely going to back it up. But, I mean, yeah, our teammates are doing a great job. I mean, Kemba's been in the gym, you know, extra time doing two workouts a day plus practice. So I'm definitely seeing the work he's putting in. And then, you know, playing guys like Kaye, a freshman, you know, didn't get a lot of time earlier this year, but is now getting more time now just with his confidence and different things like that. So it's just really big for us to see those guys improving. They're both going to be great players, and they're helping us out major right now.
What do you guys need to do to be able to keep this, to sustain this, to have those last couple of games carry forward into this last home stretch?
I think mainly for us, you know, our defense has been pretty good right now for us. You know, the way we're really guarding is kind of igniting our offense, getting us some easy looks in transition. And I think that was just like a major point for us, really. You know, trying to get Cam or Funk or Seth the easy one in transition and kind of get them going has definitely been something that I feel like has helped us these last couple of games.
Why did you lose that? I mean, especially defensively, where did you feel like that went? And obviously you're playing some of the best teams in the country. But I'm just, where did you feel like the defense went for that little stretch?
Well, we were on the road for a little bit of that. So, you know, when teams are scoring on us and their crowd kind of gets into it, you know, it's always tough to, you know, battle back from it. So now, like, you know, doing different things when people get the ball on the post and stuff like that, maybe it's double teaming or rotating or whatever. I just felt like we've really been more connected. We've been talking more and we're all on the same page coming down the court each and every time. And I think that's a big advantage for us right now.
How have you, through the course of the season, and obviously you knew what your role was going to be coming into this year, but how have you kind of grappled with knowing that you have to have it, right? Like night in, night out, you've got to be there. You've got to be at your best. How have you kind of handled maybe the pressure of that or not the pressure of that? I mean, I don't know if it inspires you. Like, how do you kind of take that on?
I think it's really just, you know, our whole team atmosphere this year. You know, it's actually fun coming to practice and being able to compete with these guys and, you know, seeing these guys that get success and, you know, having success myself. So it's actually been fun these last couple of games playing with them, you know, getting back to what we're doing, making threes, playing fast, making shots and winning games. I think, you know, that's the biggest difference from last year to this year is just our team atmosphere and our connectivity.
Yeah. I'm curious because it's easy to overlook when you're playing as well as you are, but at this point in the season, how do you feel? You know, you're banging bodies. How are you feeling physically at this point?
I feel great. I love to play basketball. I never want Coach Shrews to actually take me out the game, but he says I have to come out sometime. So, I mean, I got to understand it there, but I get in and get a lot of treatment. Justin does a great job, a lot of stretching. We do massages this year, so my body feels pretty good. You know, I'm getting in 2-3 times a day, just trying to stay fresh.
Is that something that you've picked up through your career or is that something you've always done?
That's definitely something I picked up throughout my career. I mean, when I came in as a freshman, I told those guys I never like went to the training room and things like that. And, you know, maybe it caught up to me around COVID, but, you know, I'm just in all the time now, just taking care of my body. And it just helps you feel better, play better. And, you know, the results show.
Yeah. We one of the stats from your most recent stretch is you made 12 of 13 shots at the free throw line, which means that you got to the free throw line, Jalen. I know it's been a point of contention this season. Micah has talked about it all the time, you know, advocating for you. Where do you fall on this? You know, how do you wrap your head around, you know, having four games where you haven't shot any free throws. You've had 8 Big Ten games where you've shot 2 or fewer. How are you dealing with it?
You know, sometimes you just got to play through it. I mean, you can't really focus on that type of stuff. Like in the moment of the game, you know, looking back at it, you know, I think it was just important because I didn't shoot so many threes. So I was going to the basket majority of the time. And, you know, I was just trying to, you know, I was trying to make the shot and sometimes I would get hit and different things like that, but I just got to finish through and play through contact. The refs do a great job though. You know, those guys have the hardest job I've ever seen, really. Nobody's ever happy with the job they do. So, I mean,
yep.
I gotta give him some type of credit. It was just great to finally get to the line these last couple games, though.
I guess, have you, is there an unlocked, you know, like, have you figured something out? Have you communicated with them? Is there anything that they've shared with you to say, hey, you know, you really need to be able to do this for us to see it, maybe, or, you know, whatever it is, how do you feel like you can get there?
It hasn't been really much communication on it. You know, I'm just going to go out there, you know, I'm going to play my game, and, you know, I'm going to let them try and do their job. And, you know, I can't put too much effort into them. You know, I got to put more effort into our team and figure out what we can do to win.
Gotcha. Three-pointers have also been a little bit of a difference over the last couple of games. You're taking more, you're making more. Why?
Yeah, just putting a lot of reps up in practice and different things like that. And the way people are guarding, you know, they're going under a lot of screens. So I'm just trying to practice those type of shots. And if I get an open look, you know, having my coaches and my teammates confident enough in me to shoot them, it's just been really big. So they told me, you know, if I get an open look, you know, just step back there and take it. And they see the work that I put in. So it's just great, you know, to finally see some of those results go.
Was that a point of emphasis over the offseason as well? Like, you know, where in your game did you see that in terms of where it stood, the health of that area of your game coming into this season?
Definitely, you know, shooting the basketball is one of the most important things you can do now playing basketball. Basically, everybody shoots threes. So Taj and JT do a great job, you know, putting us through workouts and different things like that of taking these type of shots. So that's definitely been a big emphasis. And it just came back like recently because we seen how people are grinding. People are going way under. So, you know, if they're going to go that far, I got to make them, you know, I got to make them pay.
Now that you've had this success, do you anticipate that changing? And what does that open up if it does change for you?
You know, I'm just going to come and prepare, you know, just like I did last week, just how I've been all year. Just trying to make sure our result is the same as it was last week, just 2-0, going 1-0 each day. If we can keep doing that, I don't care what my stats look like. I just want to keep winning and having fun.
All right. And this is the last thing I got for you, but I want to make you a little uncomfortable because I know it's hard to talk about yourself. But, you know, when we have visiting coaches in, everyone's asked about you and everyone says that you're one of the hardest guards, right? Like the toughest covers in the league. What makes you unique? What makes you the challenging player to defend that you are?
I try and make it tough on the opponent team all the time. I mean, I'm kind of a bigger guard, so if you put a smaller guard on me, I'm going to go down into the post. But then, you know, if you put like your four or fives on me, we're going to go out and get into ball screen actions where they're not so comfortable guarding those type of actions. So just picking and choosing my spots on the floor, just playing off of whoever you put on me, trying to make it difficult for you to guard and putting our team in the best position to win.
I lied. I do have one more. I know you told Dick and Steve after the game on Sunday that you didn't really want to talk about the NCAA tournament. And you don't necessarily have to talk about the specifics of getting there, but what would it mean to you? What, you know, where does it fall for you on your list of aspirations?
Number one at this point. I mean, I've been in college. That's all I've ever dreamed of is, you know, getting there. You know, the time's starting to dwindle down, but I mean, still got high hopes and I'm hoping it come true. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do at Penn State.
Can you get there?
We can definitely get there. We're good enough to get there. I have 100% confidence in my team and our coaching staff that we can. We feel like we can compete with anybody in the country. And this next four games for us coming up in this Big Ten tournament, we feel like we got enough in the locker room to, you know, make something happen and be special.
Excellent. Well, I wish you the best of luck and thank you so much for joining me here today. Appreciate it, Jalen.
Thank you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So that was fun. How did you... First off, let's assess how you felt you did in the interview. I thought that was an excellent interview. A minus? A? What do you think?
Yeah, I never know. Like, Jalen's interesting to me because he's so... I don't know if polished is the right word, but he knows how to do it, right? He just...
Yeah.
And I think some of it is being old. He's been through it. This isn't the guy that he was... certainly 4 or 5 years ago when he started his college basketball career. You learn what to say, how to say it, but also he genuinely is a team first guy. And so sometimes it's hard to get out of guys like that. I don't know if off the cuff or spontaneous or right is necessarily the way to frame it, but
yeah,
like the full picture. But no, I think that he offered some insight into who he is and really more importantly, where they are as a program, right?
Yeah. Now,
like the last couple of minutes there talking to him about what the NCAA tournament would mean to him and whether or not they're positioned to do it, I think is an insightful frame of reference for kind of where this team is at and how it sets a blueprint for the rest of the way, right? I mean, they need to win games and he believes they can do it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So it's funny, like we're not, I don't think we should be assessing character but you are when you're getting to meet somebody the first time or casting judgments, I should say, of like, but you are kind of evaluating and learning about somebody. And one of my friends who is a fan of the show, I texted him. I was like, you know, we're having Jalen Pickett on the show. He's great. And the guy in question says, oh, so he's a really good interview. And I said, well, he's very concise, but he's incredibly likable and genuine. And I think that that's, you know, when you have a leader like that on this team of somebody who is earnest and genuine and can express their thoughts as well as he does, you know, Penn State has a chance to pull this off and to get where they need to go, aside from also his level of talent, right? Like, right. And the ability for the team to actually execute on the court and the basketball part of it. But it was nice getting to know Jalen Pickett a little bit better, and hopefully fans feel the same way. He's really good, right?
Yeah.
Getting to the next thing.
Yeah. I just one thing to add very quickly. His attention to his teammates, right? It serves two purposes. And at no point am I detracting from like that being a genuine element of who he is, of like sharing, right? It's a team game. Everybody who plays these games understands that your success is dictated on the winning side of things by whether or not you have company, right?
Yeah.
By whether or not the other guys show up. And so on the front end of it, it's like, okay, well, he's acknowledging that. The backside of it is they need to continue to play well. The right. more that he talks about and provides confidence to the teammates that he has and that need to step up, Miles Dredd, Andrew Funk, Seth Lundy, right? Keba Jai, you name it, on down the list of Cam Winter. Those are the guys who are going to really, because Jalen Pickett brings it every night. You know what you're going to get from him. And so as long as those contributing pieces are there, he knows that by boosting them, by pumping them up, by continuing to say nice things and complimentary things, it has a feel good effect. It might seem trivial, but I don't think that it is, especially with this team. They ride and vibe on feeling good. And as this is happening, that's kind of the wave that I'm starting to see for them.
So let's dig into a little bit of that. You mentioned Keba there and one of his comments about Keba and working hard. And especially, I thought it was interesting, two weight room sessions a day plus practice. And is that, have you seen on the court, the the results of that? Have you seen him play a little more physical and a little more confident out there? And is that kind of clicking in time for this team with these young players to not be young at the right time? Because at a certain point, when you're putting two-a-days in the gym, you are going to stop being that guy that we said he needs to get bigger and stronger. At some point, he's an athlete. You are going to be bigger and stronger. Do you see kind of maybe that as a part of the narrative at the end of the season here with some more contribution from the young guys as a whole, but with specifically with Kebba?
I think that this is specific to Kebba, but it extends outward. I see less frustration over setbacks. Okay. And it's most notably is at Minnesota. They were down by 2 points in the second half, right? So they let a 10-point lead slide and found themselves back in that predictable position of, hey, oh man, you know, like things that were going well started to not go well. And that is a place that Penn State has struggled to get itself out of this season. They've really had a hard time of having, you know, kind of the fortitude to push through that. And what I think I'm seeing, it's a two-game set is kind of hard to gauge, right? Is it a
small sample
size
is never great for a large application of broad topics.
But I think that Kebba and Cam, Miles, Mikey Henn, they're finding roles and ways to contribute, even if offensively things aren't going exactly the way that they want it to. And that has been this underlying foundation slash crack in the foundation throughout this season, is that if their shots aren't falling right, if Kebba is getting fouled or misses a bunny layup or whatever it is, right, we've seen him get bodied by these bigger, stronger guys in the interior on scoring opportunities. And that has turned into not good stuff on the defensive end of the floor. Cam Winter, when his shot isn't falling, it turns into not good stuff on the defensive end of the floor. Miles, like on and on down the list. And instead of having that right now, yes, there have been some offensive wins for some of those guys. But more important is if things aren't exactly the way that they need them to be, that they have been able to contribute in other ways. And those other contributions, an offensive rebound here or there, getting locked up for a tied up ball. Those things are
hustle plays
critical.
To knock the ball back in bounds or keep possession or something like that. You know, the little things that you hope every basketball player does, but, you know, that hasn't been consistent this year.
Yeah, for sure. And it hasn't been consistent, and they're just effort things, but they're effort things that are easier to do when you feel good about the offensive end of the floor. So
yeah,
it's an important trajectory. And for Kebba, you know, just getting something from those five guys is just critical. You have to be able to get something out of that position. It cannot be exaggerating here, but it can't be a 0 points, zero rebounds, zero assist thing. You cannot play 4-on-5, even if it's just a body. You have to be able to bring more than just fouls to the floor. And I think that you've started to see over the last couple of games, those guys do that.
Yeah. So going back to the head of the snake with Jalen Pickett, is this an All-American potential with this player? Can Penn State actually land a guy who deserves national recognition? Because playing on a not good team, we've seen really good Penn State basketball players not even get Big Ten accolades when you think they should, let alone national recognition. But he's starting to break through, especially, you know, obviously this last week.
So here's like the thing, right? And this is the how the sausage is made. Your team has to win both games that you play to be named player of the week. You're not going to win it otherwise. Okay. And so for a lot of years, when Taylor Battle and DJ Newbill, Tim Frazier were putting up gaudy numbers and these great performances, and they'd split, they'd go 1-1 or they'd go 0-2. There was no chance. It didn't matter what they did. somebody else in the league would get those honors because they won both games. Okay. Yeah. So like that's just black and white. I think that this is going to put to the test, the All-American thing is going to put to the test. Yes. Name recognition, brand recognition. Jalen Pickett does not play for Indiana. He doesn't play for Purdue. It's going to put the Big Ten at stake, right? If you're assuming that Trace Jackson Davis and Zach Edey are both going to be first team All-Americans, they probably are. Can the Big Ten put three into a five man? That, you know, if he's a second team All-American, I think that's still a distinction and an honor and a recognition for him. But like the numbers speak for themselves, and it's not on an abject, miserable team.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a team that is competitive, has been competitive throughout the season, and he stands alone, right?
That's, by the way,
17-7-7 is not like, not only is it nuts, but it's, you can do that in the non-conference schedule with a padded cake kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then it falls off. It just trickles down. It's not going anywhere. He's going to finish with those numbers, and it's going to be a remarkable achievement for him to do so.
I think the only thing that would be holding him back is nationally televised games, because, you know, a lot of these are just on BTN, and other more prominent conferences have other more prominent games that are on the national ESPN or whatever. So, like, Penn State being a, I don't want to say sideshow because that makes it sound like it's a freak show, but, like, on the side stage, that's what I was trying to say. Like, not being on the main floor, that does have an effect as well. But you make a great point that when it comes down to it, and people who are voting, and again, how the sausage is made is like, these are people that don't watch every single game, because how in the world could you? Numbers are great. Numbers do the whole heavy lifting.
The voters are the only thing that matters in these things, right? And based on who the organization, I mean, there's multiple All-Americans, right? There's organizations that hand out All-America status, but if it was coaches, I don't have any doubt. Like, there would be no doubt in my mind that coaches who have faced this kid would put him on a first team, right? It would be a first team ballot kind of guy. So, but writers, can you count on them having as good of a sense of these things?
And I don't know, Nate, can you?
No, you can't. And I know, because I'm a voter for all Big Ten stuff. And it is like, even in the Big Ten, where I'm seeing every single game, every single team that Penn State plays, oftentimes twice a year, like, it's hard. It's hard to have a great gauge of what everybody else is doing.
Because you're also not watching, Michigan State play Michigan for the most part, because you're watching Penn State. You're watching Penn State play all these other teams, but you're not doing comparative analysis, because your job is very specific in that. Do you want to get to free throws and his diplomatic answer about free throws? Because once again, this has been a conversation that we've had on the show, Micah Shrewsbury's had with everybody else. And I think your question about the conversation of, hey, how do I get a call? His declining to really answer that, I think, was illuminating as well, of like, it's a battle not worth fighting, it seems like.
Yeah, a little bit of it's naive on my part to expect that these dialogues with the officials are going to offer some great insight of, hey, if it's happening higher, if you don't initiate the contact, that maybe you'll get a better call. It is frustrating for me, because I have a certain level of access, right? Of like unfiltered access. Okay. So this stuff is on the air. We see this. Okay. What's Jalen going to say? Right. Like, I'm getting hosed. He's not going to say that. He's not going to say that. But what is so frustrating for me is I'm watching this and I see the fouls. It's right in front of me. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Micah, fine, has to say what he says publicly. Jalen has to say what he says publicly. And Micah expressed those frustrations publicly. It's not like Micah's held back on any of this.
Yeah.
But the conversation, it's like, hey, well, like, what are they saying? Right? Like, what's the actual interaction there of like, hey, man, you know, you're not going to get this call because of this. And the answer is silence. There's no window to it. But when you look at how stark this is, he took, I didn't even realize this last year because it wasn't a topic of conversation because they weren't that relevant. He shot 29 free throws in 20 Big Ten games last year.
That's terrible.
He had 10 games out of those 20 that he shot zero free throws. And in 14 of 20 Big Ten games, he had two or fewer.
Yeah.
This year, he shot 47, okay? So he's almost doubled with four games. He will double the amount of free throws that he shoots this year. Mm-hmm. And it's still half of what Zach Edey's going to finish with and what Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to finish with. Like, if we're talking about stature, and I understand they play different positions, he's had eight games this year in the big out of the 16, half of the Big Ten games that he's played, he's shot two or fewer free throws, and he's had four games where he hasn't shot any.
Yeah.
And again, like, very important point to make here. He has shot two, he's taken 238 shots from the floor. 180 of those have not been three pointers. He's only shot 58 three pointers. So, like, he's shooting.
He's their post presence. He's the post presence. So he's down there where you get fouled.
I just want to know. Like, that's, I mean, yeah. it's not like I'm gonna write a strongly worded letter to the commissioner of the Big Ten, who, by the way, doesn't exist. But, like,
I forgot about that.
I just want to learn. I just want some insight. Maybe DJ Carstensen will let me shadow him for a day. He can explain to me, hey, this is why this isn't happening. But certainly it's not because they don't like it, right? There's no conspiracy here. It's just not happening. And look, if he shoots 100 free throws instead of the 47 that he shot so far in the Big Ten this year, Penn State wins more games.
Yeah. Yeah. It has an on-court impact for sure. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Speaking of on-court impact, before we get going, we do have to talk about the real elephant in the room, which is what Jalen was focused on mostly, which is the next four games and the importance of all of those in order to get where they want to go and be in a secure spot or a really strong position to make the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Let's go through this a little bit quickly, but also give the time it deserves, right? So 6:30 tomorrow night, that's Thursday, they are at Ohio State.
Yep.
What do you think about this game in terms of matchup? Like, is this a team that Penn State can match up well against if you've seen the numbers? And what's the likelihood of getting this done against a team that I think is a strong, you should beat this team, but of course, you know, you never know.
Yeah, it is the second worst, right? So it's the 13 seed in the Big Ten. Okay, so they've won three games in the Big Ten this year. Right? This is a team that will continue to fight, though. They will continue to play hard. They just got waxed at Purdue. They got waxed at Iowa. They scored 41 points in a loss to Michigan State. Like, they've lost decidedly over the last three games, but before that there were a bunch of competitive losses. So it's just a question of, okay, February 23rd is Ohio State, like,
have they checked out who shows up?
Have they checked out thing? Right, that's it, that's the question. And if two things, if Penn State takes on the mindset that this is a breather to get to what's next, which is two out of three at home and NCAA tournament and all that stuff, if that's the mindset, Penn State's in trouble.
Yeah.
Regardless.
You mentioned two out of three at home, Rutgers and Maryland. Sandwiching in between there is Northwestern on the road at 9.
Yep.
I'm just, for time zone's sake, at Northwestern. And also, that's a good team.
Yep.
That feels like a loss. So Rutgers Sunday at 6:30. Is that a game you can lose? And then how does that factor in here? You know, do you have to get both of these home games?
Not really. You got to, I mean, my push right now for them in terms of how I see what needs to be done is win all four, okay?
Right.
Like Northwestern is a very right. Just go out and win. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing the math of, hey, where does this put them? They need to beat Ohio State on the road. They need to beat Rutgers at home. Those two games more or less have to happen.
Yeah.
For the last two games to be, to not have the world on their shoulders, right? Because if you beat Ohio State and then lose to Rutgers, now you really have to win at Northwestern and against Maryland. Like both of those games become must win. And I think that's a really tough spot to put these guys in. But beat Ohio State, beat Rutgers. Then if you find a way to split Northwestern and Maryland, they're in. I mean, they will have the resume, right, to propel themselves into the Big Ten tournament with they don't need to go on a huge run. They might need to win one game, but they don't need to go on a huge run to be able to get to where they want to go.
Well, the other thing is, if you win some of those games, you have a better seeding in the Big Ten tournament, and therefore you have an easier path in order to get another quality win. I guess, where do you come down on projecting some of this stuff? Do you have an idea, a ballpark in your mind of where they might seed in the Big Ten tournament after these four games?
Yeah, if they win three games, if they win three of four, they will avoid the first day.
Yeah.
Which is the whole thing. Right, is they can't play on the first day of the Big Ten tournament. If they do, it literally docks them. Their metrics will go down based on the team that they would likely face, which is Minnesota. Right, if they come in as the 11 seed and they face Minnesota, your metrics go down. So they have to find a way to be at least the 10 seed or higher. If they win 10 games, that will happen. And then, you go from there, right? But it's very important. Again, like, none of this stuff matters if they can't beat Ohio State on Thursday night. So square one is get through that game, and then you can address the rest as it comes. But if you're projecting out, if they get through Ohio State and you look at, okay, Rutgers 6:30 on a Sunday, you know, you might get a crowd, you might not, probably not. Mm-hmm. But win those two games, and regardless of what happens at Northwestern, Maryland at home,
Senior Day
at noon has to be bonkers. Like it Penn State, I don't care if they recruit like anybody, just hand the tickets out, drop them from an airplane. They need to fill the Bryce Jordan Center for that game, if that is the situation that they're in. So
hand out two tickets for every seat, and then somebody shows up for sure. That way you don't have to worry about it.
Just give them away. Give them away. Whatever you lose in ticket revenue, you will make up for if they are able to win that game. So we'll see. It could be it's very intriguing, the notion of having this, right, this March 5th unbelievably consequential game in Penn State basketball history. That just, it just doesn't happen. So
last time we were on pace for one of those, COVID happened, and that was the end of that. So that's the end of the BWI Penn State Hoops Show. I'm Thomas Reinkart. That is Nate Bauer. We're going to find out a whole lot. I mean, most of this is going to be decided this week, as Nate said. So thank you to Jalen Pickett for coming on the show. We really appreciated his time. We appreciate your time as well. As always, should have said this earlier, subscribe to Blue White Illustrated on YouTube. Make sure you hit the notification button so you know when the Hoop Show goes live, because it does float a little more than our other shows, which are, you know, when they are during the week. Nate, have we set a time for next week? Are we still on for Wednesday? I believe, no, we'll have to go Tuesday next week because of the game on Wednesday. So does that work for you?
Yeah, let's do it.
We do our meeting. You get to be a part of our program director's meeting. It was that was it. It was four sentences. We're at next show's on Tuesday. So that'll do it for the BWI Hoops Show. I'm Thomas Reinkart. Like I said, that's Nate Bauer. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.